This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Woods,
Grr.
The show made by bears for the bear community, their admirers and supporters all around Australia and the world. Brought to you from Melbourne's Joy 94.9 studios.
Woof,
grr.
It is The Woods on Joy 94.9. I'm Bear Curious Dean, and I'm here as always with the guys. We're going to sit back and have a bit of a chat tonight in the woods. I'm here with Cub reporter Robbie. How are you doing, Robbie?
Evening, Dean.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's
and
great
also
to be back in the studio.
Back in the studio and pushing the buttons tonight is just James.
And pushing them in a very inspiring way.
Very interesting way.
Very interesting way.
Now, it's been a big week in Melbourne, obviously, with midsummer. We've been very busy. I've certainly been busy. I've been out and about, and I know you guys have as well. What have you been up to?
Oh, Pride March, of course, on Sunday.
Pride March, indeed.
Down in St Kilda, marching down Fitzroy Street. Now, did you march?
I marched as Chargy, the mascot for the Melbourne Chargers Rugby Club, which is a great experience. It was so much fun. It was the first time I've gotten to experience, a march down the street with the people and lots of high fives and hugs. And
now, marching as Chargy, what does that involve specifically?
Donning a Bulls outfit on what was quite a warm day, on a, what were we, 28, 29 degrees we had here in Melbourne on Sunday.
It was lovely weather.
So on a nice warm day, I donned the full mascot outfit, the big head, the outfit. It was pretty warm.
But it was warm.
It was a lot of fun.
But I think the crowd responded well to Chargy.
Very well.
Yeah.
Very well. And Chargy and the Melbourne Chargers are marching their way onto Mardi Gras this year. So,
oh, is that right?
Yes. So it was good practice for that one.
It was indeed.
And James, did you march this year?
I marched this year. I did something really unusual. I've marched in the Pride March probably 9 years. Uh-huh. And I've always marched for Victorian AIDS Council because I've been a volunteer for them for a long time. But this year, I jumped ship.
Oh, did you?
I did. I jumped ship and I marched for Joy.
Ah.
I danced for Joy,
you
actually.
Jumped for Joy.
I was bouncing all over the place.
Uh-huh.
I was marching and having a great time. It was a great day. As you said, the weather was really good.
There was
a really good turnout.
Yeah.
And, of course, you were part of that, weren't you, Dean?
I was. I was part of the street team. So Rachel and I, we hit the streets and we got to have some good chats. We chatted with Jason Ball. We chatted with Janet Rice. We got to mix and mingle with the crowds. It was great.
Was there any kind of aggro, or was the Pride March all smooth running and everything?
Absolutely.
From where we were, it looked good.
Yeah, no, we had a lot of fun. A lot of families were there, which was great.
Yeah, it always is good to see the amount of families that turn up and the amount of children that are there.
Yeah.
I know. Look, when I arrived, we arrived a little bit early to prepare from the Prince of Wales where we were broadcasting, and as I across the street, there's this four-year-old. I think she was four. She's going, "Dad, I want to see the gay march. I want to see the gay march." He's going, and this is like about 11 o'clock in the morning. He's like, "No, we need to go. We need to keep going." He's like, "But Dad, I want to see the gay march."
I had an interesting experience with a boy that must have been maybe 10 or 12 years old that ran up to me at one point and said, "I can't tell if you're a mascot or a furry." And I thought, I don't know how you know what those words mean,
and I don't know what I am either.
So for those listening who don't know what a furry is, Robbie, what is a furry?
It's a very good question. I gather there's a bit more of a sexual connotation to donning a mascot outfit for a furry.
Is there, really?
Now, Chargy the mascot isn't a furry.
He's not a furry?
He does often get sexual inappropriate advances made upon him, but he's not a card-holding furry. But
he's not in it for the sexual pleasure?
No.
No.
No, I couldn't imagine. I don't really understand how that would work. It's the dynamics.
It's not a very comfortable outfit. It says something about the world that we're now living in. That kids are coming up and asking questions like that, really.
I didn't even know what sex was till I was 19.
I still don't. The other thing was, I read or heard somewhere that it was one of the biggest Pride marches ever, for like 40-odd thousand in the crowd.
Is that
46,
right?
46,000 in the crowd.
Really?
6,000 marches.
Wow.
And it was really lovely to see the Indigenous community lead the parade and with the smoking ceremony.
Yep. It's been a while coming, but yeah. there are a lot of people saying really good things.
I can't believe they've waited 22 years.
First Peoples.
I know.
They're called First Peoples for a reason.
Mm.
Now, of course, the weekend wasn't just about the Pride March, though that was one of the highlights, but another event that happened, I don't think it was part of the Midsummer Festival, I think it was part of the Bear Festival.
Bear Fest Festival.
And that event, of course, was on Friday night, last Friday night, we had the Mr. Vic Bears 2017 sashing event.
We did.
Sash and slash.
And some of us know a bit more about that than others.
Of course, Robbie, you participated. You competed for the sash this year.
And did he shine or what?
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Some of us know a little bit more about being... I've been compared to the Karcher of the bear scene.
Oh, Karcher as in like RuPaul's Drag Race.
RuPaul's Karcher. Drag Race Karcher.
Who came straight out of my head.
Who was robbed of the title, of course.
Oh, so is this a scoop? Did you not get the sash this year?
I did not get the sash this year. Make it sound like I'm going to go back for it every year.
Try again.
Wasn't a winner this time around, but had a lot of fun.
It looked like a lot of fun. Like you even named me as the most marriable or marrying type.
Let's not bring that in front of
me. Really touched by that,
Dean. But they did make us play a game on stage of top.
Sorry, we should explain it. It's part of the competition. You do get put through a number of different categories and stages. Yeah. So what was it? Was it bare casual?
Yeah, there was a casual round. Yep. Then there was a underwear round.
Uh-huh. And was there a question and answer round?
Yes. So there's question and answers throughout, and seeing how they throw a few curveballs at you and see how you go. And one of my curveballs was we were playing a game. The common game of
who would you
sleep with, marry or kill?
But not marry, avoid.
We were playing top, bottom, marry or kill, and they gave me the cast of the woods, which
including,
was nice.
Including Cam.
If you had a bunk bed, who would get the top bunk and who would get the bottom bunk?
That's exactly. Correct.
So how did you? What was the answer? So who would?
I don't know that we need to go through it again.
Well, not the top and bottom bunk, but who would you marry and who would you kill?
Well, now do you really want to know?
I do want to know.
Do you really, really want to know?
I did say that I would marry James because he is single and he'd make great husband material, and I said that I would kill you, Dean.
I have to admit, I was yelling out as before he answered. I was yelling out from the sidelines, "Careful, Robbie! Careful, Robbie! Careful, Robbie!"
Uh-huh.
I did say thank you very much to the host on the night for asking me a question that related to four people who were in the room at the time.
And luckily, Dean had only just walked in after the answers.
That's right. Now, of course, Robbie, you were a popular, you like the cut, yeah? As you say, you were popular on the night. You like the Hillary Clinton of this campaign.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. The people's princess. But of course, we should give a big shout out to the winner and the first runner-up. So the first runner-up was Freddie,
yeah,
from regional Victoria.
Who I had a chat to on Sunday and who is already doing some fantastic work for regional gays in... He does a lot of work in Shepparton. So he's already taken... Even though he didn't win the title, he's been approached by people to say, how can we help? And he's really running with the ball, so it's exciting.
Which is sensational. And, of course, the winner of the 2017 Mr. Vic Bears was Mick.
Was Mick, who I'm sure will get on the show in the next few weeks.
Absolutely.
We'll have him in, have a bit of a chat. He had a very interesting story to tell. I met him on the night as well.
Yeah,
nice guy. Yeah. Now, of course, if there is a Sash All-Stars... A Vic Bears Sash All Stars. We might see Robbie return to the stage to get his sash.
Yeah, why not?
Like Katja did with RuPaul's All Stars.
Of course.
Now, speaking of sashes, we have a very special guest coming in this evening.
We do, do we?
We do. Now, he's not a leather sash wearer. He's actually a wearer of a rubber sash.
Who stretchy. Knew?
So nice coming up tonight, we are going to explore a different side of fetish. We are going to explore rubber. We have Melbourne Rubber Man 2016, Liam Clark joining us soon. So if you have a question, if you know anything about rubber or don't know anything about rubber, like me, I know nothing. I'm going to learn so much tonight. Send us a message, ask us a question on 0427 Joy949 or on air at joy.org.au. But stick around, we'll have Liam coming up next. You're on the woods on Joy94.9.
For all things bear, cub, otter or wolf, and any other woodland creature, the woods on Joy 94.9.
Well, Bear Curious Dean here with cub reporter Robbie and Just James. And we're going to talk of something that's of interest to everybody, as Vanessa Amorosi says. Absolutely everybody. It's fascinated to talk about rubber, rubber-dub-dub.
Rubber-dub-dub.
So to help us explore...
Three men in a tub, I think the next line is.
Is that right? Just the three, James? Just the three? So rubber-dub-dub, to kick us off, talk about rubber and rubber man. We have our very own Melbourne Rubber Man 2016. It's Liam Clark. Hey, Liam, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Now, what's this business with rubber? Tell me about rubber.
What, where do I start? Do I need to describe the chemical process that creates rubber? Or?
So, rubber.
Don't get me going on the Sound of Music. Let's start at the very beginning, Liam.
So rubber is a fetish.
Yes.
Yeah? It's a kink.
Yep.
It's not leather, it's rubber.
Yes, that is correct.
Right. And you wear the rubber.
I do wear the rubber.
You wear the rubber.
I am wearing the rubber right now for those who can't see us, which is everyone, since this is an audio medium.
So draw me a picture. Paint me a picture here.
But there'll be a picture on the podcast.
There will be.
There will be on the podcast. But you're wearing a latex, we call this, bustle shirt?
Well, I'm wearing a sleeveless hoodie right now.
Sleeveless hoodie. Very on trend.
With some...
On fleek, even.
I would... Yeah, I'd say it's on fleek.
On fleek, yeah.
It's currently open because it is very hot in here, and I'm quite sweaty right now.
It's very reminiscent of the last time that Liam came in.
Yeah.
He seems to come into the Wood Studio and just disrobe as the night goes on.
I hope no one has a problem with nipples.
Yes, well, we certainly don't here.
But so, given it is a warm fabric to wear, is it a winter garment? Does it lend itself to summer?
I would say the best time is either the middle of autumn or the middle of spring.
Oh.
Because when it's really cold, it's actually even harder to wear it because it stays cold and you just stay cold the whole time.
Oh.
It sort of absorbs whatever the weather is around it. So if it's too hot, it's too hot. And if it's too cold, it's too cold.
Now, and how do you... Look, as the guys here know, I'm a spokesboy for Vanilla Pride. When it comes to fetishes and kinks, it's a little bit outside my zone.
He's still finding his way, as I've
finding the way.
Still curious.
Eyes wide open, hands out front, just in case I fall.
Do we need a new name for you? Rubber Curious Dean.
Rubber Curious Dean. Let's see. So how do you get into the rubber outfit? Cause if one has body hair, I imagine it could get a bit...
Yeah.
Ouchy.
So I have... slightly more hair on my legs than I do on my chest. Uh-huh. So I have to put a liberal amount of silicone lube or talcum powder on them first before I can get into it.
Not the two things at once.
No, not the two things at once. That would get a bit
pancake
batter.
That would get a bit gluggy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Pastry-like.
Definitely don't do both at the same time.
Pop them in the oven for 20 minutes. Here's what I'm prepared earlier.
So when you say I'm going to slip into something a bit more comfortable, you literally mean I'm going to slip in.
Yeah.
I don't know how comfortable. Is it comfortable?
Yeah, it's pretty comfortable.
Uh-huh.
It depends on how comfortable you can be with feeling a little bit slimy.
So many temptations.
I find it very comfortable. But I mean, I've been wearing it for a long time, and you know, it's, you get used to that feeling, but it's an odd sensation at first.
So let's talk about that. Let's go back in time. Back in time. Shut your eyes, lean back on the couch. So when you're a little boy, Liam, what first got you interested in rubber?
Okay, so the story at this point I've had to tell possibly about 100 times is when I was about 8.
I'm hearing for the first time, though.
Okay. When I was about 8, I snuck into my dad's shed.
Oh, yeah.
And found a pair of chemical-resistant latex gloves, which I then promptly stole. And
hit him under the bed next to some magazines. And
the chemical resistant bit was very important, right?
Well, no, it is, because they're the big thick ones rather than
they weren't dishwashing gloves.
No, they weren't dishwashing gloves, and they're not the ones.
Not daisies.
Yeah, they're not the ones that you pull on before you give a prostate exam.
Right.
These were man's gloves.
They were
industrial strength gloves.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was for dealing with like Roundup or something like that.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Because we're from the country. So I stole those, and I remember being very excited by them before I had an inkling of what that would actually mean. That's how I got into it. Oh, and then also being a 14-year-old with the internet in the country.
So then you started doing your research, but how long was it till you started? When did you first get your first piece of rubber?
When I was about 20 years old.
Okay.
Maybe 21. It was just after I'd moved out of my dad's house after I moved to Melbourne.
Did you take the gloves with you?
I have no idea where those went. I lost them long ago.
All right.
Sad times. But I have a pair that are very similar now.
Oh, you've replaced them.
I have.
And is being part of the rubber community, is it just about the dressing in rubber, or is there a sexual element to it as well?
Oh, it's absolutely a sexual element.
Uh-huh.
I think that's paramount in any fetish community. You're wearing things that really turn you on and that turn you on to see other people wearing. That doesn't mean that it's also quite social, and that, you know, you like hanging out with it and grabbing a drink with mates. But there is, you know, an expectation that there's a good chance you're going to have sex with someone later.
See, when I think about the rubber, and it is, as you say, you slip into it and it's fairly skin tight.
Yeah.
Now, when I get aroused,
Loving where this is going.
I need a bit of movement. I need a bit of wriggle room, shall we say.
Rubber stretches, yeah. Dean. Goodness me.
Oh, the high kicks are happening in these.
It's very movable.
Oh, it is movable.
Yeah, I mean...
is it easily removable, though?
Yeah, well, it's more removable if you've got someone to give you a hand.
Right.
And lots of silicone lube.
And well, at the point when you're taking it off, you're a little bit sweaty, so that helps as well. But I think for me, the idea is not to take it off. You don't take it off until everything's over and you need to hose yourself down.
Right. So it's a quick clean-up
method
as well.
Remember, he's from the country. Yeah, he's from the country.
Yeah, a little spray and wipe and you're done.
Fantastic.
Don't you spray and wipe on it.
Oh, you don't?
That's for the people playing at home. How do you clean your rubber?
There's a couple of different ways, but what I usually do is I rinse it in a bucket of water and some dishwashing liquid, very mild dishwashing liquid, and then I get a fresh bucket of water and put a little bit of silicone lube in there and just run it through that so it's got a little bit over the surface.
Mm. Sounds time-consuming.
And what about storing it? Are there any secrets to storing it?
What you're supposed to do is then put talcum powder on it and store it in between wax paper.
Right.
I just hang it up in my cupboard.
So you think that's okay? Like
that's fine.
Doesn't perish?
The main thing is you need to keep it away from direct sunlight.
Right.
And you need to occasionally move it around so it doesn't stick to something else and fuse together.
That makes sense.
More a concern in hotter climates than Melbourne, but nevertheless, it still gets pretty warm here, so you've got to keep an eye on it.
We are speaking with Melbourne Rubberman 2016. It's Liam Clark. You're listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. Stick around. There's more to come. And if I can make
it to the middle of this tightrope. Hey, this is Matt Albert from San Francisco. Well, then you can find a way to make it out here too. You're listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. And if I can make it to the
middle of this tightrope. You are listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. I'm Bear Curious Dean. I'm here with Cub reporter Robbie and with Just James. We're kicking back with Rubberman. It's Melbourne Rubberman 2016, Liam Clark. In this section, we're going to talk about the competition and the winning of the rubbery sash for both Melbourne Rubberman and also the Mr. International event you went to in November last year.
Yeah, my silver medal.
Your silver medal. Look at you.
I'm the number twoist.
So Liam, tell me about the Melbourne Rubberman 2016. That was in July last year.
Yeah, it was July last year. Yeah.
So tell me about that event. How do you go about winning your rubbery sash?
I guess by being better than the two other people.
It's as simple as that, people.
At what, though? That's the question. Better at what?
Flouncing around on stage in rubber.
And stretching? Stretching a point?
I did stretch a little bit, didn't I?
Now, Liam, I've never been to a rubber man competition. Yeah. So what are they? How do they put you through your paces? What do you need to do?
So in Melbourne, we had a full rubber image round in which we had to wear full rubber. And
head to toe?
Yeah, I was wearing head to toe, but it wasn't an exact requirement. You just had to be wearing mostly coverage.
Right.
Then there was a flesh round where you had to be wearing minimal rubber.
Right.
Then we had a fan.
Visuals of you in a condom, no?
Oh, no, I was wearing a rubber Speedo. And then we had a fantasy / talent round where I did a sort of locker room fantasy wearing a rubber version of the Australian soccer uniform.
Ah.
Was it green?
It was gold, green and gold.
Green and gold, yeah, of course.
All to Olivia Newton-John's physical, of course.
Yeah.
And there was also a rubber in the real world interview. So we had to do an interview that they filmed somewhere in the real world, and I did mine at Melbourne University, where I was attending at the time.
Oh, so you were studying at Melbourne?
I was. I graduated in December.
Uh-huh. And there you were in the forecourt doing an interview in rubber.
Yep. I was wearing my rubber tracksuit, so it was just like...
I was going to say, which costume were you wearing, the head to toe or the minimal?
I went with the thing that almost looks like it could be, you know, possible in the real world.
Yeah.
And it was at 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning during the school holidays, so there wasn't really anyone around.
Was it cold?
Oh, it was freaking freezing.
And then fast forward a few months and you made the effort to head on over to Chicago for the MIR, the Melbourne International Rubber 20th year anniversary.
Yeah.
And competed in that. And you're telling me earlier they really put you through
your paces
there. Oh, my
God. It was the most intense thing I'd ever been through. I've never had that much attention on me. I'm used to being some awkward, lanky dork, like hidden in the shadows of stuff, and being the first title, rubber title holder from the Southern Hemisphere, that made me the novelty of this competition. I'm glad I'm not competing this year because there's now Russia and Poland with title holders, so my novelty would be much, much lower.
So when you say Mr. International Rubber, it is international.
Oh, yeah. I mean, most of the contestants were from America, but half of them were still international.
Ah.
And I think this year it's going to be maybe more not America than America.
Is that right?
Mm.
If they let you in.
Yeah. Well, I'm not entering again.
No. God, no. So as Robbie says, they put you through your paces. But what were the events there?
Okay. So we had six rounds. There was the rubber image, which is like, for anyone who watches Drag Race, it's like, and they're walking the main stage in their best drag. It's that.
Okay.
Then there was the wet rubber fantasy, where we had to pre-type out a 150-word fantasy, which somebody was reading off to the side while we were in a shower reacting to it.
It was. I did catch some of that live, because the whole thing was live streamed back here, which a lot of people watch, and there was a delayed show in as well of the whole competition, which it was very, very entertaining.
Yeah. So you're on stage in a cubicle having a shower while someone reads.
Uh-huh. I was reading. It was a fantasy about being a rubber swimmer who lost a race to my rival and then had him accost me in a very sexual manner in the change rooms afterwards, and then me wanting to win so I could top him next time.
Accost me in a very sexual manner is a very demure way. It was very descriptive.
Yeah, I can't drop any F-bombs on the radio, so I had to think of a quick way.
It's after 9 o'clock. Oh, go for gold.
Well, I've already said it very flowery, and I'm going to stick to that.
Good.
Then we had an interview, a on-stage question where they asked us just sort of a fun question that we had to answer. Mine was, what sex toy best represents ourselves and why?
Oh, okay. World peace!
I did try and throw in a couple of Miss Congeniality references.
Of course.
And my question, I answered that because I have narcolepsy, electro kits would best represent me and my constant struggle to stay awake.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a mystery bag round where we each had to grab a bag that had three random household items in it.
Right.
And then use it in a improvised play scene with somebody sitting on a chair in the middle of the stage.
And we're all dying to know. What did you get?
A mini whiteboard with pen, a box of Swiss rolls, and a Lycra ninja mask.
The mind boggles. Mm. The mind boggles.
What a planning meeting that would have been. What are we going to make these contestants do? You know, let's just make them do everything.
Yeah. And then there was an audience vote round.
And the mini rolls were edible?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There was like Swiss roll type things.
Yeah, yeah. It was a small Swiss roll.
Do we want to know what it... No, probably we don't want to know anything with those, do we?
A massive congratulations, of course, coming first runner-up.
Yeah, which I really wish they'd just say I came second.
I quite like the term first runner-up. I think it's quite eloquent.
Still the medalist.
I think it's them trying to make me not feel so bad that I didn't win. No, I was second. I have a silver medal.
So who did win? Who came first?
The winner was Preston So from Boston.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Mr. Rubber New England and the current Mr. International Rubber. And I am such a fan of this guy. He definitely was the right decision.
Uh-huh.
We were very close in pretty much every round. I beat him in a few rounds, he beat me in a few rounds, but there was one round where he beat me by a long way, so that's
sealed the deal for him.
Is there any chance we're going to see Preston in Australia anytime
soon? Yes, Preston is coming to Melbourne Rubber Man 2017.
He shut the door.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Did he get to accost you in the changing room afterwards?
He didn't at that point, but, you know, never say never.
So I'm interested, you said that with the Melbourne Rubber Man, there was, what, three of you in the competition?
Yes.
With Mr. International Rubber, there were more than three.
Nine.
Is it a bigger event internationally?
Oh, God, yeah.
Is there a bigger scene internationally?
Yeah. Rubber's very much an emerging thing here in Australia. It's apparently a lot bigger than I expected it was, because the rubber events we've had have had a much bigger turnout than I've expected.
In Melbourne?
In Melbourne. Uh-huh. But it's still, pretty emerging.
Where do the rubber men of Melbourne meet?
Predominantly at the Laird.
Uh-huh.
actually, they're probably about to start meeting right now. It's Thursday.
Thursday night.
I think the increase I think it is one of the fastest growing fetish scenes anyway in mm-hmm. Melbourne. But I think the sudden increase has a lot to do with the representation that we had last year. Your representation overseas. A lot of people have been talking about this, and not just in the rubber circles.
Mm. Yeah, I think people seeing that there is a rubber scene here is bringing them out of the
closet, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic, I think, in no small part to the work that you've been doing over the last year.
Oh, thank you.
Would you have any advice for someone thinking about going into the competition? Did you feel good looking back on how it was for you?
Yeah, I would say be prepared. Like, look at what the rounds are.
Be a good boy scout.
Have a good think about what you could do for something. But also, at the same time, don't overthink it.
Right.
Be yourself, because if you try too hard, that's going to be obvious.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants, you know, world peace. No one wants those sort of contrived answers.
And don't bring your own Swiss rolls.
Well, yeah, they'll provide them. That's fine.
You're listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9, where we are speaking with Melbourne Rubberman 2016 and silver medal, first runner-up, Mr. International Rubberman Liam Clark. Coming up next, we're going to change the topic a little bit. We're going to go to Europe. We're going to talk Eurovision. That's coming up next on The Woods on Joy 94.9.
It's becoming warmer, and the bears are keen to shed their thick winter coats. Some cubs, seems, are particularly suitable for rubbing. Bears have their favourites and will travel long distances to visit them. Some itches just have to be scratched.
Joy 94.9. Woof. Grr.
Catch up or relive all the Woods has to offer. Listen to the Woods podcast online at joy.org.au or on iTunes or Stitcher. Joy 94.9.
You are listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. I'm Bear Curious Dean. I'm here with Cub reporter Robbie and Just James, and we're kicking back with Melbourne Rubber Man 2016. It's Liam Clark. Now, just a quick shout out. We've had a donation through.
We have.
James, do you want to do the honours?
Certainly will. It's a donation of $25, and that's come from Mark in Collingwood. Thanks so much for that, Mark.
Hey, Mark, and he says he loves Joy, and we love you, Mark. There we go. Round of applause. Now, I should just say that that track we just heard, that was Polygenova from Bulgaria with If Love Was a Crime.
Yes.
And that was from Eurovision 2016.
It was my favourite track last year. That's the one I think should have won.
I know. Now, the reason we played Eurovision is because, Liam, you have a relationship, shall we say, with Eurovision.
Yes. As well as being Melbourne Rubber Man, I'm also the commentary producer for Estonia at Eurovision.
But that's specific, isn't it?
So don't see many people with those two hats on, do you?
No. It's a bit of a slashy, but...
So say some more. So why Estonia?
So when I first started getting into Eurovision, I met some people who realized that I knew a lot and I spoke English well, and they're like, hey, do you want to start a Eurovision news blog? And I was like, yeah, fine. And my background is British and Norwegian, and there was already British people and a Norwegian involved. So I just started writing about Estonia because I had the music I liked the most.
Uh-huh.
And then after living in Estonia on uni exchange and doing an internship at their TV station, I eventually wormed my way into the Estonian delegation as basically their super nerd. Commentary producer sounds very fancy, but basically I'm just the team nerd.
And what, excuse my ignorance, but what language do they speak in Estonia?
Estonian.
It is Estonian.
Yeah.
And is it like...
It's very closely related to Finnish.
Right. Okay.
Does that mean you're not the person that goes, I will give you how many points, who gets what?
No. I basically, my main job is I write all the notes that the Estonian version of Julia Zemiro reads.
Ah, okay.
So I write a page of notes, and the Estonian commentator will look at those notes and highlight the bits that he likes, and then that's right. What he'll talk about during the show.
Right. Because I had visions there for a second of you being on camera live, dressed as you are now in your rubber. That would be rubber. Really something else.
I can't. How would a wind machine go with rubber? I don't think that would work.
It wouldn't do anything.
No.
Give you a cold, give you a chill.
Yeah. But I mean, if it's hot, I could go a wind machine right now.
Yeah.
Can anyone make that happen?
James, you're good at blowing.
You know what? I'll let that one through to the keeper, I think, Dean. Just this once.
Too easy.
Of course, with Eurovision 2016, many of us here in Australia were watching... on the edge of our seats is our Dami.
Yep.
Sang the Sound of Silence.
Some of us are on the edge of our seats because we love Eurovision as well.
But having Australia compete so well and get so close was very exciting. But now you were actually there.
Yeah, I was there. So because Estonia didn't qualify for the final, I didn't actually get tickets to see the show. I would have got a ticket. But my ticket instead went to the singer for Estonia, Yuri. Because he wanted to see the show. So I was watching from the after party, which was great, because as soon as the show was over, I grabbed a bottle of champagne. but it was a very weird experience because, of course, Australia did so amazingly. But Estonia came dead last in the semi-final, which meant that out of the 42 countries, Australia was second. And Estonia was 42nd.
Oh, right.
So it's like...
So you were really torn.
It's like,
emotionally.
What the heck? Like, I don't know how to feel about all this, which is why there was a bottle of champagne.
Yes, right. That'll help.
Yeah.
It covers a myriad of emotions.
It does,
a bottle of champagne, doesn't it?
Now, take us back. So you're, when they announced... I know you weren't there, but you were in the after party. But when Jamalia from Ukraine with 1944, when that song won... God knows why. Well, that song won. What was the reaction like in Sweden?
I can also explain why it won if you'd like.
Please. Please explain, because I do not understand why that won and why Our Dami did not win.
Okay, so the song 1944 tells the story of the deportation of the Crimean Tartars during just after the Second World War.
Which is great fodder for a pop song.
Well, it's less a pop song. It's not your commercial hit for Eurovision,
no.
But it is a historically important song, and it does tell a story that was very shared among a lot of people in the former Soviet Union, which is why people in the West don't really get it, that none of them have that shared story of forcible deportation. I mean, this is basically a song about ethnic cleansing.
I know.
And that it's a story that happened recently enough that my friends in Estonia, when they first heard 1944, they were like, oh my God, this is what happened to my grandparents.
Yes.
So everyone, it resonated with everyone. And for a lot of people in the West, maybe they couldn't relate to the story, but a lot of people could feel the emotion and the pain that she was singing about.
Yes.
And that was enough to push her over the line and into the victory.
Whilst our beloved Dami song was about...
I think...
FaceTime.
When you...
I was going to say popular mobile devices.
Also, it was a love song myself. I completely missed the point.
I think when you look at the top five, the top five was the right top five.
Yeah.
Ukraine told the best story. Mm-hmm. Australia had the best vocals. Russia had the best stage performance. Bulgaria had the best overall pop song, and Sweden had the best radio hit.
Yes.
So it was a very, very good top five.
I think
five.
Russia also had some good abs from memory.
Yes. Yes. Although we couldn't really see them, but you can find them.
You can find Google.
Google images.
Yeah, yeah, you'll find them.
No one was wearing rubber, I take it, though. There was no rubber costumes.
Not that I recall.
No.
But
Dami did wear rubber during the X Factor, so...
Well, there you go.
Yeah, she's my homegirl.
Well, it ties in somehow then, doesn't it? What makes a perfect Eurovision song for you? Why is If Love Was a Crime your favourite from last year?
For me, Bulgaria was my favourite because it's a pop song of... I mean, I think that's a world-class pop song. I think that could be a radio hit anywhere in the world, but it still sounds like it's from Bulgaria.
Yes.
There's the hook of the chorus is in Bulgarian, and there's a little bit of traditional instrumentalization in there. And I think that's what I love about Eurovision. I mean, I think it's become very homogenized lately with everyone being allowed to sing in whatever language they want. And I think that's, you know, everyone should be allowed to sing in whatever they want because it gives unfair advantage to the UK, Ireland and Malta if everyone can sing, you know, if Finland has to sing in Finnish, but Ireland can sing in English.
Yes.
But I miss the national touches.
Yeah,
which is interesting because Belarus this year is for the first time sending a song not in English, and it's the first real authentic thing we've had from Belarus.
I'd really be keen to hear the UK sing in tune, but that's
sorry. Actually, they've got a really nice singer this year, but the song's boring.
Oh. It's always boring. It's been boring. Well, do you know, actually, the last time I enjoyed the English entry was when Olivia sang "Long Live Love." that really dates me. I know,
I think the UK usually sends competent entries, but they get really trodden down on because
Engelbert was a competent entry.
Yeah, that was fine.
You liked it.
It was pleasant, but it deserved the 20-something place it got because it wasn't very interesting.
Yeah. Bonnie Tyler wasn't she?
Yeah, she was nice as well.
Yeah, she was nice,
and she was singing flat. You made a good point there, Dean. It certainly wasn't in tune.
But last year, the guys, Joe and Jake, they were fine.
They were actually good, yeah.
Yeah, I liked them.
But it's just that it wasn't
were they
enough.
Cute?
They were very cute.
They were cute.
So Eurovision happens in May, so you're heading off again this year?
Yep, I will be in Ukraine, or I will be on the way. I will be a judge in the Mr. Rubber Poland competition, the first ever. And then I will go to Eurovision.
So listen to that, kids. If you get into rubber fetish, get into the rubber fetish and you'll see the world.
Yep.
It's been an incredible couple of years for you, or still to come as well. So it's
actually, it's mostly just that last year and a half. Everything's really like come into play then, and it's been so weird and so much fun.
I do have a quick confession to make.
Uh-huh.
I have my own piece of rubber.
You do?
I have a one piece, which I bought for, what was the party at...
Fantastic?
Yeah, I went to Fantastic in a one piece, which is why I was curious about how you look after them. And you basically told me that I'm doing everything right, except maybe the silicone bits missing.
I hope we're going to see you on the stage in July.
You most certainly will not. As I said to you the other week, when they start putting Zimmer frames and ramps
goodness.
So I can get on the stage.
That's rubbish.
I'll think about it.
You are listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. Stick around. If I was
Hi, I'm Margaret Cho. You're listening to The Woods, the Bear Community Show at Joy 94.9. She wants to be
a bear. You are listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. I'm Bear Curious Dean, here with Cub reporter Robbie and Just James. And Melbourne Rubber Man 2016 is Liam Clark.
Yay.
And we're here to say goodbye. That's the end of our hour.
That was a really quick hour, wasn't
it? I know.
It was so much fun when we're talking fetish.
It was very bouncy, wasn't it? Very bouncy.
Yeah, where else would you get your update on fetish gear and Eurovision all in the one place?
All in the one mix. That's, on Joy 94.9. Where else?
Now, Liam, when can we hear you next on Joy?
Ah, well, I am actually one of the hosts of Babel Pop, which is on Saturdays at 8.
Somehow that doesn't surprise
me. I know, right?
Even a little bit.
Yeah, it's really just like when I told my friends I was doing that show, they're like, yeah.
Yeah, that's you.
Yep.
Now, if people want to find out more about you as Mr. International Rubber Man Silver Medal winner or as Melbourne Rubber Man 2016, where can they go?
I am on Facebook and Instagram at facebook.com/rubberliam, and my Instagram handle is also rubberliam.
Fantastic. So if you want to find out more about Rubber and Rubber Liam, go to Facebook.
It's mostly just gratuitous pictures.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. We all have a bit of good gratuitous photography.
Now, if you are on social media, you might want to check out The Woods Facebook page. It's The Woods on Joy 94.9.
It's one of my favourites.
We're also on Twitter at The Woods on Joy. You can catch up on our podcasts from the website, joy.org.au/The Woods, or check us out on iTunes. And Robbie, what do the people do if they go to iTunes and listen to us?
When you download the podcast, give a 5-star review.
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy.
We're not proud.
It's always nice to get a little pat on the head every now and then.
We do like that.
Leave us a 5-star review. That would be great.
Please leave us a 5-star. And like us on Facebook as well. Coming up next, you know, we've got the Pop Chops.
Pop Chop Boys.
Tonight, Dan and Andy, get this. It's 2017. What, it's February? It's only February.
A year in review.
Exactly. They're doing the story so far. Right. Recap all the highs and lows of the first month of 2017.
And there's plenty to be had from all accounts.
That's true. It's been a rocky road so far.
It's been an interesting year.
Of course, if you can't get enough of the Bears, there is Brecky Bears also.
Brecky Bears on Monday mornings.
With our very own Big Bear Mark.
And Luke the Wonder Cup.
That's correct.
But that's it from us.
I think it is.
I think that's a good night.
I know. About a good night. So until next week, from us is Wolfgar.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.